This episode is brought to you by Pray, Plan, Prosper. Pray, Plan, Prosper is a prophetic calendar planning event that is really focused on planning that is guided by Holy Spirit. Are you in a place where you're saying, you know what? I need clarity. I need alignment about my next steps. And I really want to implement this God-given idea, Pray, Plan, Prosper is for you. The next workshop will be held on November 13th, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But we'll enjoy 2.5 packed hours of prophetically planning as God guides our next steps. Listen, this workshop has been groundbreaking and amazing for so many people, and I'm excited that God is allowing me and leading me to do it again this year. So if you're ready to go ahead and get your planning on and implement those God ideas, go on over to the show notes and click the link for PPP. Let's do it. You are now tuning in to Spirituality Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. LaTanya Moore. This is the place where we cover all things related to your spiritual maturity. I'm talking topics, experiences, and application. It's also the place where you can receive practical tips when you are ready to strengthen your relationship with God. Hashtag practical. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right in to today's episode. Hey, come on in. Welcome to another episode of Spirituality. I am so happy that you are here. You could have been anywhere else, but you decided to spend some time with me. So you know what? I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. Is this your first time here? What? Welcome to the family. Baby, don't let it be your last, okay? There are a lot of episodes that you can go back and catch up on. So we have 2 whole seasons for you to catch up on. So go ahead and start binge listening and go ahead and build that relationship with God. Speaking of relationship, y'all, we're talking about intimacy with God today. And we have an amazing guest, okay, who is going to really help us understand how he began to build that relationship and that intimacy with God and what it really means to him, okay? So as I think about relationship, y'all know already, this is the most important thing to me. I went from being religious to being in relationship with God to then being released and then being radical. I'm still in this radical season now. It's just really what we're supposed to be doing, but it takes a lot of obedience. And so I've shared my story before, but I just want to share it again here that I didn't even know there was a such thing as a relationship with God. Like what? Huh? Anybody taught me that in church? Like, you know, I didn't even know there was a such thing. I knew that there was these scriptures I needed to read, these stories I needed to learn, and these prayers that I needed to pray. That's it. And yes, that's the gist of it. But, you know, learning to have a relationship with God and increase your intimacy with Him takes on a totally different meaning in your life when you learn, right, how important that piece is. And I learned that through, you know, consistency. So I started to pray at the same time every day. It was 5:30 p.m. because the Lord knew the a.m. just won't eat. Okay. And so I started to pray at the same time every single day in the same place. I was using the same song. This song just kept resonating in my spirit. I had like this playlist. And so one day I am moving around my kitchen and all of a sudden I feel the presence of God all over me. And I looked at the time and it was 5:30 p.m. And it was like God was saying to me, come on, what are you doing? It's our time together. Like, come on. And He met me right there. When I tell you, I hurried to my prayer spot and I like dropped to my knees because that was the day that I realized that I had a relationship with God. Like He missed me, right? He missed me. He was looking for me. He was waiting on me. Yeah. So it was that day that I realized that there was a such thing as, you know, having a relationship and having this intimacy with God. I really want to think about the word intimacy because automatically our minds go to the gutter, okay? We start thinking about all kinds of stuff because that's the way that the word intimacy has been framed and utilized in our lives. But intimacy, as defined by my girl Google and dictionary.com, the first definition is having close familiarity or friendship and closeness. Yeah, that's what intimacy is. It's that closeness that is happening. Like, I know you, you know me. There are things that you know about me that other people do not know, right? And that's what intimacy really, really means. But somehow we don't necessarily recognize that word and connect it to a relationship with God, right? We automatically connect it to romantic relationships. So let's get our heads out from that first, right? So intimacy with God takes, I would say, three huge things, and there could be more, but these are the things that God showed me through my walk that it really takes to build intimacy with God. The first one is, like I just mentioned, it's consistency. It's consistency. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing the same thing every day, but it means that you're creating a standard where you continue to do the same things or whatever it is that he's called you to do consistently and in a way that makes sense for you, okay? Everybody's consistency journey isn't the same. And so just because I do something every day at 5:30 doesn't necessarily mean you have to, right? It could be that you do it every day for 1 hour, no matter what time it is, or you do it, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday, right? So whatever that consistency looks like for you, but it really takes consistency. The same way that you would build a relationship and build intimacy with a person in your life, you would be consistent. Because if you start getting flaky, listen, they ain't gonna trust you. They gonna be like, nah, I'm gonna have to end this relationship. This relationship is not for me because you aren't consistent, right? It's the same way with God. He needs, he wants, he desires our consistency with him, okay? The second thing that it really takes to really build that intimacy with God is intentionality. Yeah, you have to be intentional. Oftentimes we get up in the morning, we just move about our day, we do all of these things. But when we plan and we're intentional about spending that time with God, about dating God, about, you know, actually, you know, learning more about him, his character, then what happens is we begin to accelerate in many ways, right? So you have to be purposeful in your pursuit of him. And that intentionality really builds that relationship a lot faster because, you know, it's the same way again, we're thinking about, you know, physical relationships or relationships here on earth. You know, if you were dating somebody and they never were intentional about the date or planning the date, and it's just like, oh yeah, let's just go hang out, you wouldn't be okay with that. But if they were intentional in the planning and the setting that thing up and the making a reservation and doing all of those things, then you would feel honored, right? That this is what they've done, that they've been intentional about this time together. It's the same way with God. Building that relationship and that intimacy really requires your intentionality, all right? And then desire. Okay, let's get here. Let's just jump on into this desire because God showed me that in my pursuit of him, I had a desire for more. I wanted more, right? And if you don't have a desire for more, then you won't get more. You have to make a conscious decision, right? To need and want more of God. And when you have that desire, he will meet you right there. You'll see more. You'll see more fruit. You'll see the acceleration. You'll see the favor because of your desire of him. All right. So those are three things that I learned just through my pursuit of him, is that my consistency, my intentionality, and my desire for God really helped me increase that intimacy. And you'll see with many, many Bible characters that really, you know, were purposeful and even prosperous in their pursuit, they spent time with God. Okay, they knew God. And God knew them. They were in relationship with him, right? They really knew and understood his character because they had spent time with him. And they knew, you know, even if, you know, he was unpredictable and you didn't know what he was going to do, they knew he was going to do something, right? And so I love that, you know, many of our Bible characters were in relationship with God, right? The first one I think of is Moses because, you know, of course, as well as Abraham, because of course they're like in Genesis and Exodus, and I read those over and over again when I start reading the Bible. But those are the first two that I think about. Like, they were in relationship with God, and because of that, like, they knew him, God knew them, right? And so they saw that their consistency, their intentionality, and their desire for more of God, or to want to be more like him, or to want to be obedient, really helped them to progress. All right. Man, that's what God really wanted me to share. And it's so interesting because he took me right back to the devotional journal from season one. The devotional journal is 130 pages worth of activities for you to build and strengthen your relationship with God. There is so much there. And so if you haven't gotten a journal yet, go ahead over to the link in my bio and grab the journal. You know what? Because I'm feeling it in my spirit. Okay, Lord, I hear you. Because I'm feeling it in my spirit for this week, this first week of this podcast being out, I will cover the shipping costs for you. And y'all know shipping is high right now, especially with the holidays coming up. I will go ahead and cover the shipping costs for you. And so use the code INTIMACY so that you can get free shipping, and I will cover the shipping and pay that myself for you. I want you to have it that bad, okay? That bad, because building your relationship with God is going to sustain areas of your life and places and spaces where you never even thought you needed him, okay? But we need him everywhere. I'm also going to be releasing to my email list 10 ways to build intimacy and relationship with God, because I want you to know that there are just some practical tips, right? Some easy things that you can do, but it does require that consistency, that intentionality, and that desire to have more and to want more from him. Okay. Listen, I am so glad that, you know, God allowed me to really connect with Bob. Okay. Let me tell you something. He has an amazing TikTok account, and you know, I'm all about this hashtag Christian TikTok life. And so I ended up connecting with him, and I'm going to tell the story in a moment, but let me just say that I knew that the dynamics of this episode would be completely different coming from a male. Right. And I'm so glad that God allowed me to connect with him, because he's about to bring the fire. So let's jump right into the experience. Bob Rasko was born and raised in Virginia. He currently works for Apple full-time, but spends much of his time in ministry. He ministers the word of God through local churches and arenas, as well as through creative video messages. He loves to bring the truth of God's word to God's people, especially through his TikTok ministry. He is an author of two children's books titled My Crown and Where Is My Father? He lives his days by reminding himself that if God is first, prove it.
So Bob, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing so good. Y'all, let me just start by saying, first of all, I don't even know what to call him, because I call him B, Bob, and Bobby all in one, because right. I mean, these are the names that I see him use. And because I see him use them interchangeably, I figured I would just use them all.
Is that right?
But I'm going to try to stick with Bob for this. Okay.
Okay. That all works.
Right. We're going to try to work it out with Bob. Right. I am so happy to have you here.
It's a blessing to be here. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so I was on one of your lives, and of course I've been seeing your content, you know, right. And it was one live that I was on, and God downloads my entire season to me, like literally every episode. I have it on a board right over here. And so he downloaded the season, and one of the episodes was Intimacy with God. And I knew it was going to be a man, which I knew, because it's so interesting, because he just showed me the difference. Right. That would have what will happen as a result of a male speaking about intimacy with God. Ooh, come on, Lord. I feel God you already. And so I'm on that live and I heard God speak. I was like, that's it. He's about to get this podcast invite straight to the inbox.
I appreciate it. I'm happy you sent it. I really am.
I love it. So we have been in this season of, you know, we finished up this freedom series. And so, of course, you know, you free from some things, and that means you have let go of some things, right? That means you have space to be filled and refilled with the word of God, with his will, with his way. And so I'm so happy to talk about intimacy with God. You ready to jump in?
I'm ready.
Yeah. So what does intimacy with God mean to you?
Well, intimacy, alone is close friendship, right? It means is defined as closeness. When I think of intimacy, I think of spending time with someone, someone recognizing me, recognizing my presence, my voice, being able to feel when something isn't right, right? And that's what intimacy is. Does he recognize my voice? Do I recognize his voice? If something isn't right spiritually, if I've let him down, if he's trying to convict me on something, do I recognize that? Do I feel that? Am I still dating him? You know, am I still planning times to spend with him? You told me an amazing story about your growth with the Father, and you said a certain time every day. And when you missed that time, you felt it, right? So
absolutely.
Are you still dating God? Are you still setting time apart? You know, so, but trust is the most important part of intimacy, right? Can I trust you to help me with what it is I give you? So if you're dating someone and you're intimate and it's not a sexual intimacy, you know, it is a relationship building intimacy. And when you're intimate with someone and you ask me what it is I want, what it is I desire, what do I need? And I tell you, can I trust you to help me make these things happen? Not just vent to you, right? But can I trust you to make these things happen? And that's what my intimacy is with the Father, with God, with Yahweh. It is that experience that I have to say, when I'm with you and I know you're asking me to pray, that means you're asking me to come to you to ask for something,
that's good.
Right? Whether it's the revelation of something I need for myself, or if it's to bless someone else, or if whatever it is, even if it's for me to ask you to order my steps, can I trust you in giving you the things in this intimacy, basically?
My God. Okay. Listen, you just preached a whole sermonette because, whoo. All right. Let's take it back to, are you still dating God?
Right.
You know, I remember the first time that I said that on a podcast, and I had a guest and she talked about it on a podcast. It was the Are You Available episode. Y'all go head on back there when you finish this one. But when I tell you, people were shocked, like, what do you mean? What does that even mean? Mm. Like, almost as if they had never heard of the concept of, you know, dating God.
Right.
And I always say, like, it's just like you said, you're spending time, you're building a relationship with someone, you set aside time.
Because if you
have no boo, you be ready to go on a date.
Yeah.
Dressed up and everything. But it's that intentional time that you're taking, right, to spend time with him. So I love that. But let me tell you how you just really dropped the gem. It was the trust. It was the trust.
Gotcha.
Knowing that trust, though, does it go both ways or not?
It does go both ways, because if God didn't trust us, he wouldn't have us in his will. He wouldn't have ordained these things to happen. So he definitely trusts us.
Absolutely. I love that. I remember the first time my mentor said to me, I was like, this is happening and this is happening. I'm explaining all these things. And he says, you show God that he can trust you, and now he can entrust you. And I was like, with what?
Right. Right.
And so I love that progression, right? When you begin to show God that he can trust you, right? We think it's the other way around. Like, we're trying to make sure that we can trust God. No, he's trying to make sure he, you know, he can trust us as well, so that he can then give us more assignments and, you know, begin to entrust us with things.
Right.
Come on now. Man of God.
I mean, when Satan approached God and he said, have you noticed my servant Job? You know, because he trusted Job, right? He trusted Job to show off and show up the way that he needed him to. And so we just got to be like Job. We got to understand that while we're trusting him, he's also trusting us.
Absolutely. I love that. I just studied Job last week. Job was sold out for God, okay?
All the way. All the way.
Like, Lord, make me like Job, Lord.
Yes, please.
Please don't take everything. But if you happen to,
just make me ready for whatever it is you do. You know,
absolutely. I'm a lover of Job now.
Yes, wow. Me too.
Well, when you think about this relationship that we're building with God, this intimacy, this dating experience really that we're having with God, what do you think are some common barriers to really creating that intimacy with God?
Oh, distractions, any form of distraction, whether it be your friends, your job, your hobbies, Netflix, whatever it is, you know, and it's just whatever it is that pulls you away, you know. And again, I always bring it back to earthly intimacy, earthly relationships. If you're trying to build with someone, the first thing you do is you make sure you're off on time. You know, you schedule days off, right? You realize that I may want to finish this show, but she want to go out this weekend, you know, so I'll finish this show ahead of time or I'll get to it later. You know, I want to play my game for an hour tonight, but I know she would prefer for me to sit and watch a movie with her, right? And it's whatever distraction may come your way. You have to learn to tell your friends no to build that relationship. You have to learn to sometimes say, I can't come in on my day off to build this relationship. You have to turn down your hobbies. You have to stop binge watching everything that you get your hands on sometimes to build this relationship. Because yes, on your lunch break, you shouldn't have to talk on the phone for 30 minutes to an hour. You should be able to say, God, today is you and I. 12:30 to 1:30, I'm not going to speak to anyone. I'm going to grab my food. You're going to sit in the passenger side. I'm going to sit in the driver's side of this car. We're going to have a discussion while I eat. I'm spending my lunch break with you. I'm not allowing any distractions into it. So it's definitely distractions as barriers.
My God, that's so good. Okay. You just stepped on a lot of toes. Any distractions, anything that is pulling you away, right. Anything. I even feel that right now for even, you know, some of us as business owners or some of us who are in ministry, who right. are doing God's work. Thank you, Holy Spirit, but failing to, right, spend that time that we need to really still build the work that he's given us. Come yeah. on. It really sounded like sacrifices.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly so many what sacrifices have to be made in order to have this intimate relationship with God. And that's hard for us.
It is.
Sacrificing is hard for us as people. How do you do it? Do you schedule the time? Do you, you know, are you, tell us how you're intentional.
So I'm intentional in preparation. God has made me pretty decent in preparing. Even though I don't utilize it like I should, and I don't care it creatively like I should, he's blessed me to be able to learn how to prepare. So I'm able to, as adults, we kind of know what our schedule is for the week ahead of time, right?
Right.
So in a sense, we really don't have an excuse. So yep. I'm just being honest, you know. So
period.
Now,
okay.
Right. So when I plan, I say, okay, I'm off by 4 p.m. today. My goal is whatever it is I need to get done, it needs to get done by 6, right? I got to take care of my kids as well tonight. So I need to get them taken care of by 7:30. Right after that, they can run around, do whatever it is they need to do. My daughter run around, my son going game, whatever it is they're going to do. Because I know after 7:30, that is my time with my God, right? That is my time to catch up, to say, Father, I know I asked you for a lot today, but sit down and talk to me.
That's so
I want
good.
To hear what you have to say now, because now I've gotten all of my distractions. Now, is that saying distractions won't walk in the room while you're in the middle of prayer? No, you know, those things will still happen. Yeah. However, God will honor you just as he honored you. Remember you told me when you got caught up at that time, he still showed up.
Amen.
Letting you know that even though you're busy, I just want you to know I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to know I didn't forget about you. I showed up. I'm just waiting on you, right? So essentially, you'll either meet him there or either he'll call you to say, hey, you're running late. I'm here. You still coming, right?
Yeah.
That's all. So he's just looking for dedication. He's looking for planning. He's looking for, as you said, sacrifice. And that sacrifice comes in when you remove distraction. You know, sacrifice mm-hmm. isn't always getting rid of someone out of your life. Sometimes sacrifice is telling that person, I can't be bothered tonight.
Come on, boundaries.
Right, boundaries. Right, for sure, for sure.
That's so good. That really takes another level of maturity, especially spiritual maturity. I remember having times where, you know, I would say like, I can't go to something or I can't do something. And I would be asked why. And I was moving into that level of spiritual maturity where I felt like I wanted to say that it's because, hey, I need to spend some time with God, but I wasn't quite there just yet. But now it's just completely different. Bro, I'm busy. Like, you know what I mean? I have an appointment with my father.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
there
it, you, go. You know, or even, you know, explaining why I'm fasting or why I can't, you know, have something if I'm out with some of my friends. I'm completely open to that now, right? And that just takes a level of spiritual maturity when you can create those boundaries for one and not show up and not do things that you really want to do. And then that spiritual maturity comes with just saying it. Listen, there's nothing to be ashamed of here.
It takes some time, but it's worth it. And that just goes to show you how far God has brought you.
Oh, yeah. He's brought me a mighty long way.
A long way. Yes, ma'am.
That's so good. Man, you said so much, too, just about who you are as a man of God, as well as a family man, right? And, you know, knowing your schedule, knowing your routine, knowing when, you know, your family is going to be, you know, busy or what have you.
Right.
But what does that look like for men, right? Because sometimes that's real easy for women to do. You know, we just gonna get up earlier before everybody else gets up, right? Or, you know, we can easily kind of fit that time in because of our dedication to the kingdom. So right. What does that look like for a man, especially a family man?
It doesn't look the same. I can definitely tell you that because in the gender world for kingdom culture, kingdom related things, women are always seen as they're busy, they're taking care of it. Men are always seen as the guys who are sitting still watching things happen. And that's not always the case, right? So even if you go into the church, you see the women doing the announcements, they're counting this and they're presenting this, they're typing up this, and the deacons are sitting all on a row just watching, right? Or the pastor sitting there watching, right? And so when you think about a man in the spiritual world, we're not recognizing him as he's still head of household, even when he's building this relationship. That's the number one thing in relationship, like you're head of household. So you can't be head of household without having that relationship with God. So in order to get there, you have to make this time. And it may look like we're sitting still. Sometimes our relationship is sitting still. Sometimes that is our relationship. It may not be us moving back and forth with the heels on, click clacking across the hardwood floor, right? Sometimes it could be us just sitting still. I remember my grandfather, many years he was a deacon in the church. And I would always be like, why Papa don't ever move? Like, dude, just sit right here all the time. But when I would come into his room late night, I'd see him, you know, he would sit still in the church. He was a trustee in church as well, deacon and trustee. He was always sitting still. When I would go into his room, because I grew up there, you know, with my grandparents. And I would go into his room late night, and he would just be in his chair, sitting still. Sometimes the TV would be on, sometimes it wouldn't be. And I'm like, is Papa asleep? You know, walking in, he's not asleep, he's just sitting. And as I got older, I realized that he wasn't tripping. Ooh. You know, he was building his relationship with my father, right? And so he was truly a head of the household, and he displayed that by his faith in Christ, right? But I didn't see his action. So even when it doesn't look like we're doing something, we're still building. Sometimes you just have to rest in his presence. And sometimes relationship isn't about us talking, right? Sometimes it's about us allowing him to talk. And as I got older, I realized when the TV was off, and he was just sitting still, and it looked like, as a man, he's just letting his wife take care of the house. He was actually being fed. So sometimes it's just being fed. And sometimes for me, I don't talk. I just sit and I'm like, God, whatever it is you need to say, let me know. And it's literally like clicking download and it just hits me. And so just understand that when you see that man in the church or on the street corner or at home or in your family, whatever it is, sometimes he's not just sitting still. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's praying heavily. So I guess I can say our actions are different, but the result is the same, right?
Man, I'm so glad God took it there, because I'm just thinking now, I think that a lot of women needed to hear that. We needed to hear that the way that you build your relationship with God doesn't look the same as the way that we build our relationship. And just because we are, you know, using a certain posture or, you know, heavenly language or what have you, does not necessarily mean that you aren't, right, doing some of the same things. It just looks, it's in a different way. Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. I can get with that statement, like he's still head of the household.
Right, right. Because yeah. The job is still being done, you know. And think about it this way, in a relationship, a lot of the times the women do the talking, right? They do most of the time. They do most of the tree chopping. They do most of it. I mean, it's just reality. You see them doing the work.
Right.
But that man is still going to work. He's still disciplining the children. He's still there for you. You're still intimate. You still have your intimacy with him. All of those good things. His job is still being done. Even though you don't see him doing these things, it's still being done. So it's the same in a sense. You know, you all are very active. You know, y'all are very active in your relationships.
Moving.
You know, men. Right. So yeah, it's kind of the same, you know, it's really similar, just different approach.
That's so good. Woo. Is anybody else feeling released? Okay. I feel a release happening right now on the podcast. Okay. For women, maybe even for my male listeners as well, who's probably listening right now, like, tell them, come on, bro.
For sure.
That's so good. Well, man, at Spirituality, we love practical tips, because listen, you can go to church all day and you can come home, but if you haven't applied anything that you learn, nothing will change.
Right.
So what practical tips would you provide to those who want to increase their intimacy with God?
It's the number one rule I live by. My feelings don't matter. And that's something that I had to learn. My feelings don't matter. I can't become intimate with God until I realize my feelings mean nothing. You know, they don't. But his word means everything, you know, because there'll always be something in life that you're going to feel some type of way about. And in those feelings, you have to decide whether I'm going to react to what I feel or react to what he said.
Ooh, come on, say that again.
I have to learn to react to whether, you know, what he said and not my feelings. So am I going to react to my feelings or react to what he said? And I had to learn that my feelings didn't matter. The moment I did that, everything changed in my relationship with God. Because it was always, but God, they did this to me. But God, I didn't start it. God, I'm just reacting. And your feelings don't matter. I didn't tell you to do that, right? So imagine a husband and a wife, and, you know, the husband doesn't pay her any attention anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy that comes along, and he always compliments her dresses, compliments her hair, compliments her nails when she gets them done, compliments her smile. She hasn't heard it from her husband in years. And she's drawn to this guy. So yeah. she has every excuse to give this guy the time of day because her husband doesn't even look at her anymore.
Wow.
She has to realize, I have to stay faithful because of what he said, right? Ooh. My feelings don't matter, right? If this man may cuss me out or this woman may cuss me out in this marriage, but I have to stay committed to the vow that I took to God, right? My feelings don't matter when it comes. Now, I'm not telling anybody to stay in an abusive relationship at all, right? But I am saying, you know, being mistreated is a part of life. It's a part of trials and tribulations. And so I had to learn, in order for me to grow closer, I have to get rid of my feelings. So I had to put his kingdom over my feelings.
That's good. I like that. Put his kingdom over my feelings. I want to know, though, because this is my therapy brain, you know, my spiritual brain, my therapy brain, my organizational brain, all of them kick in at different times. And so, but at any point, though, do you acknowledge those feelings? God gave us those feelings, right? So do you ever acknowledge those feelings to then, you know, see what God is trying to teach you or share with you, show you in those moments?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't acknowledge something, it's just going to come back later, you know, and it's just going to build and build and build, and it's going to cling on to something else, and they'll make branches here and there. So
okay, they become unexpressed frustration.
Yes. And then you end up taking it out on somebody who, or you end up taking it out on yourself and into anxiety and depression and all of these things. So when I feel those feelings, the number one thing I do is I address it. Where did it come from? There's a root of everything. Did it come from a childhood? Did it come from something that happened at work? I need to address this right now, but I can't address it alone. So I'm going to him about this too. Father, expose to me, reveal to me what the root of this is. Not the reason, the root of it. I don't need to know why it happened. I just need the root of it gone.
That's good.
So I do address it. I always try to address my feelings because, like you said, they're there for a reason, you know, and I have to protect them and I have to guard them and I have to, you know, get those things out of me. So
absolutely. Sure. Yeah. And I love that because it goes back to the gender as well, right? Like sometimes, you know, you all as males were raised not to acknowledge those feelings or to kind of dismiss them when you have them. And so it's important to know, and for everybody listening to know that we want to acknowledge the kingdom first, and we want to feel and acknowledge the feelings and learn more about, you know, what God is teaching us, telling us, and getting to the root of those things. So I love that. I like getting to the root of things because surface level is just not it. Okay. It's not it.
It's not. It took me a long time to realize that though.
Yeah. I think this is a good time to take a break and just remind you that if you're listening to this podcast and you are loving what you hear, to go over to Apple, go over to Spotify, go over to whatever podcast platform you're listening to right now and rate this podcast. Come on, y'all. I need some fives. I need 5 stars. So rate the podcast. Put a review in. Let me know what you're thinking, because that is how this podcast will rise to the top. And I seek to be amongst the number one players. So please go ahead, rate, review, subscribe, and share. Thank you. Well, speaking of a long time, I know there's a journey here. There's a story. So how did you create this relationship and the intimacy that you have with God today?
Just dying to myself. It took time, you know, and I was one of those people who I always had questions about God. And I always, even as a teenager, you know, I would sit down with my cousins and we would talk like, why did God do this? Or why does the Bible say this? And then growing up in church, it was like, nah, I'm good with that God stuff, you know, because I saw like, if these people like are of God, then I don't want any parts of that life. And I just live like, if y'all getting into heaven, then I should be able to get in too, right? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, if y'all are saying y'all going to heaven, then I should be good where I'm at, you know? So, and that moved me away, you know, I'm not gonna move me away for a long time. But what brought me here is I hit a point where I couldn't do it alone anymore. You know, I'm not some guy who came down with the spirit of whoever and just, you know, I'm not Christ. I didn't always know, you know, so it took me, I'm 36 now. So it took, when I was like 32, I really started to feel like God speak, and I was hard-headed. I was really hard-headed. You know, no matter what he told me, I'm like, well, God, his real name can't be Jesus because Jay wasn't around during that time. You know, like I was petty. I was real petty. And it was everything that I was, that he gave me, I would give it right back and be like, well, that's not, that can't be right.
Wow.
So I fell very sick, and I thought I was going to die, you know, and I ended up with, I was in a situation where every night my prayers switched. You know, my prayers went from, you know, bless and protect us, God, keep us, all that good stuff to, you know, if I should die tonight, make my soul ready, you know, forgive me for what. And so my prayers went to survival mode, right?
Wow.
And I ended up with 4 or 5 different specialists all across the body, the heart, the stomach, I mean, gastro, everything, pulmonologists and all this, because I thought I was dying. And every doctor I went to, every specialist I went to, they were like, nah, it ain't us. You may want to try another. And I had surgeries done, not surgeries, but procedures done, endoscopies done, and all this other stuff, heart monitor and all this good stuff.
Wow.
And they literally see stuff happening to me as I'm sitting there. So they know what's happening, but they couldn't figure out a cause. So I bounced back and forth between all these specialists. And one day God was just like, there's nothing wrong with you at all. Listen, he said, this is the only way I could have gotten your attention, right? Mind you, because I'm going through all of these things, I've now started therapy for anxiety and depression, right? My job was so great that they allowed me to be written out of work for a while. I couldn't even work. I couldn't sit at the desk. I couldn't stand up. My daughter started crying. She started praying over me. My son was flipping out because he like, Dad, what's going on? Like, is there something you need to tell us? I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything.
Wow.
And you know, one day he was just like, nothing's wrong with you. I want you to get up and I want you to go. And so I got up one night. It was 2 a.m. and I just started writing all of these things. And I'm like writing. And I'm planning as I'm writing, and I'm writing different names down and all of this good stuff. And next thing I know, it all happened in like 15 minutes. I had planned a whole event and I didn't even know it was for ministry. It was crazy. I didn't even know if, I thought it was just a conversation, right? And so at that point I knew God was real, you know, and I realized, I said, that's really the only way you could have gotten my attention, because I won't go listen any other way. And so when they say men are big babies when we get sick, that's some real stuff. That's some real stuff. Like, I was laying in the bed out of 24 hours, like 17 or 18 hours. I couldn't get out of the bed.
Wow.
I couldn't get out. And so that's how my relationship got built with him, because I had no choice. There was nobody that could help me. Nobody could tell me what was wrong. There was no medicine they could give me because they didn't know. And so I changed my prayers, because every night I thought I was going to die. I was talking to my children as if I was going to die that night. My prayers changed to save me. You know, I thought I knew you, but I know I don't, because I'm full of fear. I know I don't. And so over the course of that month, changed my entire life.
My God, what a story.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know it's crazy and I know it's long. Forgive me.
No, it's okay. So have you written this out? Like, is this written somewhere? Where is the book?
I just did those 2 children's books. I haven't done mine yet.
It's time.
I haven't done mine.
Man, okay. It's time. I feel that thing in my spirit. Woo, he had to strip you. Talking about Job, he had to strip you.
Literally, yeah.
Of your health, of your good health. Because as long as you were going and moving in good health, you wouldn't sit down and submit and surrender.
Right. It was tough. It got difficult. You know, it was really difficult because I'm hard-headed. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm really hard-headed. And I just felt like if it weren't for him stripping me of that, then I still wouldn't be
where you are.
Be clear.
Yeah, my God. You know, it's so interesting as you, even as you talked about the age you were, because I always say this, something happens around those 30s, like those early 30s between 29 and about 32, like literally.
Yeah.
Like in addition to the midlife crisis that happens, or you start evaluating everything and trying to figure out if you have and if you are where you thought you were going to be. But something happens spiritually. Like, I feel like I need to go deeper in some research about this thing, because there's something spiritually that happens around that time as well as you're evaluating and reevaluating. And I almost feel like everything, especially if you grew up in church, even if, you know, it wasn't the best time in church, and even if you question all that knowledge of church, all that knowledge of the Bible comes back to you. It like comes rushing back around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hitch. Mm-hmm. It all comes full circle. It's like he takes you right back from the same to the same place you started. Bible study in Sunday school.
Right, exactly. And that's where you pick up from.
Yeah.
But he's so gracious. You know, he's such an amazing father to even allow us to press reset, you know, and the fact that, and this is where, as I got older, I understood where train up a child on the way that they should go. It's not about training them in the perfect way. It's about planting that seed. Mm-hmm. And the seed was planted from childhood in reference to who God was, who we should expect him to be, and where to find him, you know. So we find him in his word. And you know, I'm grateful, you know, even though that church I could look at and say I never want to attend, you know, whatever my feelings were. I'm grateful that my grandmother did, you know, that she did train me up, you know, and allow me to see and witness. So
he's great.
He's amazing.
That's such an amazing story. Woo. Well, we're going to stick right here, you know, and get a little bit deeper into, you know, what you're learning, a little bit of your business and a little bit about what God is telling you. But I always love asking this question because there's something about your season that can help someone else's season, right? So what is one word that describes what God is teaching you in this season of your life?
It's going to sound crazy, but leadership. I've always thought I was a leader, right? And it was a place where I always wanted to be. I was like, yeah, I want to lead and whatever the case is. But he's showing me how to put it on display, but also how to handle the responsibility. Man, as I had told you earlier, you know, I had been across the country on shows and doing different jobs or whatever the case may be. But and I was leading then. But the most important part of leadership is leading by example, right? Ooh. And that's the toughest part. And being a leader is not just, oh, I'm in charge of you, but it's also, I'm going to show you how to do this, right? I'm going to make sure you're good when you're doing it. There's so many different avenues to it. And once he showed it to me, I was like, this is not what I thought it was at all, you know, because now, you know, it's a company. Leadership is accompanied by people responsibility, right? Like you're responsible for people and that you're responsible for their feelings, you know, responsible for answering their messages. You're almost responsible for the weight of their bad news. You know, you're not carrying their burden, right? But you're responsible for the weight of their bad news. And he's really opened my eyes to what a leader really is. And, you know, I have pastors and ministers who joke around and they call me pastor. I'm not ordained or anything, but they call me that because they always say, well, pastor is to lead and it's to lead by example, et cetera. I still don't accept the title. I always laugh it off and kind of kick it back. But as I started to enter this area, I was like, that's why they were saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they keep calling me that. And, you know, I was so confused by it, but I understood it. And the leadership aspect of leading by example is what I'm learning. It's not an easy thing. You know, it's not easy to lead a group of people at work. You know, you're the manager. Okay. You just manage.
Listen, those are the worst ones. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Or in ministry at church, like when you're in the leadership position of a ministry.
Right. Right.
Not the whole church, but just a small group. I mean, you can have seven and it'd be hard.
Right. And that's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm just learning how to lead with people's feelings, you know, what they think, how they respond to things, because I understand that if I give them the wrong information, you know, that could be their soul and that's going to be on my hands, you know, when it's time for judgment.
Yeah. Wow. That's so amazing. You know, we talk about leadership as if it's just like this quick thing, like you can just pick up a couple skills and you can run with it.
Right.
But it's so much bigger than that. It's deeper than that. And I do believe that leadership requires, especially if you're leading in ministry, it requires you to be Holy Spirit led.
Yes.
You have to be. There is no other way. I don't know how people are leading without Holy Spirit, like legit. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, you have a world where they've accepted it's become a business, you know, and they treat it like it's a you know, medical center. You know, they treat it like, you know, it's a law firm. You just get a piece of paper and we'll hire you, you know, and you're in and you can work. And then, you know, forgetting that these patients, you know, is not just them being healed here, you know, is what they have to do after this place. And this is why the Holy Spirit has been absent in so many areas, you know. And you know, I just tell people, I urge them all the time, whatever you hear, just go back and find it in the Bible yourself.
That's,
you know, I ask that person, okay, if God gave you that, can you show me in the Bible what that is? I'm not trying to question you. I just want to make sure for my soul that I'm going in the right direction. And I think that's why we have not seen a lot of Holy Spirit led people, because it's not the people that are being led by the Holy Spirit are having these podcasts, right? Like you, right? The people who are being led by the Holy Spirit are out on the street corners, right? They're given the word of God, but the people who are in the church, they treat it like studies. You know, they go home and study something and they give it to you in a presentation and big words and take your offerings and your tithing and have a blessed day, you know, but the people who are out here grinding, you know, putting things in order as the Holy Spirit gives to them. And at some, sometimes struggling, whether it's financially, you can't get any rest, whatever it may be mentally, those are the ones who are out here really grinding for the Holy Spirit. And you see it in their efforts, you see it in their production, you see it in their work.
That's so good, man. Well, you are definitely putting in the work. I'm going to let you share, of course, but y'all have got to go over to his TikTok page because, listen, it's a lot going on over there, okay? Just be careful. be ready when you get over there to go ahead and feel convicted, okay? He's going to step on a couple of toes, might bang your head a little bit, but you'll shift at the end of that video, all right? So, man, this has been so amazing. We appreciate you for coming on the podcast and helping us learn more about just being intimate with God. How can we find you? Where do you want people to follow you? Tell us about your services, products, any of those things.
You are funny. just go to my TikTok page. You can find me there. It's TikTok.com/Brenva, B-R-I-N-V-A. Or you can just go to the search field, type in Brenva. Or you can just go to Dr.'s page and you can catch me on one of her videos, leaving a comment as well. but I mean, I'm thankful to be here and I'm just amazed at what you do.
I'm excited. I'm amazed at what you do. It's the black and white and the angles for me, okay? The fact that, do you move your phone? Go ahead and tell everybody, like, do you move your phone or do you move your face? Like, tell us the production. What's the behind the scenes?
You want to know for real? No, seriously, I have a dresser right by my window and I open up the window. I let God shine in and I just press record. I used to get caught up in like switching angles when I talk. And God was like, nah, I don't need you to do that no more. You know? And it's crazy because that was never me doing that, right? But I started to realize people was receiving that. And they were like, oh, like, this is, and I had people hit me. I'm like, are you using a camera? Are you using your phone? I'm like, nah, I'm using my phone. I'm just like changing. I hit this wall and I lean on this dresser and I lean on this, you know? So, you know, it was, now I'm talking, you know, I've hit the point where I think God just wants me to, it's like, all right, you drew them in.
Yeah.
You know, just sit down and have the conversation now. And I'm noticing the comments change. You know, before it was like, I really enjoyed this too. Now it's like, I need it, you know, and so the enjoyment is still there, but now it's what do we need, you know? Yeah. So
that's good. I love it. I love it. And of course, I would definitely put his links in the show notes. Also, links to your children's books. Tell the people.
So they're in my bio on TikTok, or either you can go to lulu.com where I said I wasn't going to put them on Amazon, but ended up doing Lulu instead. And you can just type in my name, Bob Rasco, B-O-B-R-A-S-C-O-E. And I have a book called My Crown. Was about my daughter. Basically, she got teased for her hair and it goes into, you know, me teaching her that she's fearfully and wonderfully made. And she goes back to school and addresses those children with that scripture. Then it's another book called Where's My Father? In reference to, it's difficult believing in a spiritual father, a heavenly father, when you don't have your earthly father. Yeah. So, and at the end of that book, we see how God shows up. So thank you.
That's so good. I'll make sure, of course, I put those in the show notes as well. Well, thank you again. We need to move on to this A because we got some practical application to get in over here. Let's see what God said. Let's move on to the A. What? Wasn't that good? Okay. Listen, did he not just help us? Okay. Listen, even for our men out there, you know, just sitting still sometimes is one way where you can hear from God and just build that relationship and that intimacy because you're praying right in your stillness. Be still. I love it. Listen, so as I prayed about this application, God led me straight to it. All right. And you know, the funny thing is I just did this and I'm actually going to record a TikTok and talk about it. I have a few clips, but the application for this episode is to go on a date with God. Yeah. Go on a date with God, which means that you have to plan it. Which means that you need to block out the time, which means that you need to pick a place, whether it is, you know, in your home or outside of your home, which means that you need to really,
you know, be intentional, right? You have to be intentional. I just had a date with God and I felt like I wanted to do something different. And so I told God, I was like, God, we going on a date. I was like, God, we going on a date. And so, you know, my whole goal is to hear from you and to spend time with you and to share with you. And so I actually went out to a local restaurant that I absolutely love. And I ate and I spent time with God there. Like in my thoughts, I really focused on God. I really focused on everything that I was grateful for. I focused on, you know, things that he had been sharing with me lately. I focused on you all as my community and what God wants me to do with it. And then I prayed on paper. I had my journal with me. And so I started with Dear God, right? So I prayed on paper and everything that I would have said out loud, you know, in my prayer time or in my prayer closet because I was in public, I prayed on paper. So what I want you to do is plan your date with God. Get creative. Tell God, show God that you love him, okay? I want you to make sure that you go all out, okay? This is not a cheap date. This is a very expensive one. And so I want you to know that, you know, you are spending that time, right? You're giving of yourself and also hearing from him in the process. So this might be a little awkward. This might be a little abnormal if you've never done it before, but I want you to know that God is going to meet you right there. He'll definitely be a part of this date time. You have to be intentional and schedule it, right? Don't just pop them like, yep, I'm going to do it right now. No. Like be intentional. Start preparing. Start telling God, like, I can't wait till we go out on Friday. Like, I can't wait to hear from you. I can't wait to talk to you. I am so excited about, you know, what's going to happen on our time together and just and enjoy it, right? I want to hear about it. I need to hear about these dates. Oh my God. I'm like right now, even my heart is like fluttering because it feels so good. And I feel like the love of God, right? Just him being Abba, that father to us. And so I want you to share it with me. Feel free to drop me a DM and be like, this is how I dated God. And this is what my date looked like. And here's what I felt. And here's the presence that was there. You know, whatever it is, however this, you know, happens for you, I'd love to hear about it. So DM, you can send me an email, whatever it is. I'm all in it because I love a good testimony. Okay, I need to get much better about putting testimonies out that I get, but I love a good testimony. I'll be over here all out tears because of something somebody sent me. Okay, so go ahead, get prepared to go on your date with God. I can't wait to hear about it because I know he's going to meet you right there and speak and share with you in such a way that you are completely full by this time. All right, enjoy. So just as we end every episode, I just want to end with a word of prayer. So Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for who you are, God. God, I thank you that you are Abba. Yes, Lord, you are a father. God, you are Jehovah. Hallelujah. God, you are Jehovah Shalom, Lord. You are peace. Father God, you are the beginning and the end. Oh, Lord. You are the Alpha and Omega, God. You are everything, Lord, that we need. You are everything that we desire. And so Father, even in this moment, as we begin to think about ways that we can spend more time with you, to think about ways that we can get to know your character. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for honoring the process. God, we ask that you meet us right there. Lord, we thank you for the desire to want more from you, oh God. Father, you are our refuge. You are our righteous God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing, even in these moments, Lord, that we begin to build the relationship. Father, it's time for a new level. It's time for a new level. We've been doing one thing, oh God, but we thank you, Lord, that you're elevating us now in the name of Jesus. I thank you now, God, that even as I see in the spirit realm that we are elevating, that we're moving toward the next mark. And Father God, even in this race, oh God, that takes years and years and years, Father, we thank you that there's an acceleration in the process, that something that can happen on this date with you, oh God, begins to move us into another dimension, begins to move us into another way of thinking, begins to move us, oh God, God, into another outpouring of your spirit, of your love, oh God, of the sacrifice. Father, I thank you now that we begin to do new things, oh God, that you honor, oh God, and that honor you. Father, I thank you that we won't be scared and we won't be nervous, oh God, to do something different, and that we won't be stuck in religion and what religion has told us we can and cannot do. But Father, we will move in relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for intimacy. I thank you that we know one another. I thank you that you call me friend. I thank you that you call me masterpiece. I thank you that you call me daughter. I thank you that you call some son. Father, I thank you, oh Lord, for everything. And I declare and decree that in this moment, oh God, what you're doing is groundbreaking. Is breaking up ground, oh God, so new seed can be planted and new fruit can be harvested and new fruit can be produced. Lord, I thank you for everybody under the sound of my voice, oh Lord. I thank you that they're moving into new seasons and new territories and new opportunities, oh God, because of you. Yes, God. Lord, I thank you for being peace in our lives. Lord, we'll continue to praise you. We'll continue to give you honor. We'll continue to give you our praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you again for tuning in. I am so excited about what God is doing in the lives of everyone that is connected to spirituality. It is because of you that this podcast is prosperous. Speaking of prosperous, if you would like to sow a seed into spirituality or Dr. LaTanya Moore, feel free to send it via Cash App at the Dr. Moore. That's at T-H-E-D-R-M-O-O-R-E. I appreciate you so much for joining this journey with me. So follow the journey by hitting subscribe, share the podcast, and follow me on Instagram at the Dr. Moore. You can also hit me up in, you know, my Gmail. Just send me an email at drlatanyamoore@gmail.com. If you are a faith-based entrepreneur, listen, I would love to partner with you. Send me a message and let's connect. This is about to be epic.